The gospel lesson for today comes from the gospel according to St. John. It is from what is traditionally regarded as the Good Shepherd discourse because Jesus tells his disciples that he is the Good Shepherd. Indeed, Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." This too is for us the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The other day I received one of those little getting to know you questionnaires from someone on our communications staff. The survey wanted to know things like, what was your first job, and what is your favorite movie, and what did you want to be when you grew up? Little questions like that. One of the questions was, what was your first concert? Now, I suppose that normal people would probably not have any trouble answering that question, but I am not a normal person, so it took me a little while, because first I had to figure out, were they asking what was the first concert I played, or what was the first concert I went to? Well, as kids, my parents would take my younger sisters and me to hear the Air Force Band of the West as they played concerts during Fiesta Week in San Antonio. And as an elementary school child, I would go to Symphony Day. The San Antonio Symphony would put on a day, and they would invite school children. So I suppose that would count as my first concert. But my first real concert, the one I went to because I chose to go, this was something I wanted to do, was a concert by the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America. I am not making this up. The kids who liked rock went to see Guns N' Roses and Metallica or Van Halen. My peers who preferred pop went to see Duran Duran or Tears for Fears or U2. The super cool kids at school always got the tickets to go see Madonna or Michael Jackson, but not me. I opted for a four-part male harmony. So as I said, I'm not your normal person. I certainly wasn't your normal concert goer. So it will not come as any surprise to you that Thursday night found me downtown at the Majestic Theater for what was billed as an intimate evening with Martha and Grant. Martha and Grant being Martha Barnett and Grant Barrett, who are the hosts of National Public Radio's program Away with Words. Now, if you don't know Away with Words, it's a radio program dedicated to a celebration of and conversation about the English language. They talk about grammar and word origins and regional phrases and dialects and funny things your grandma from Kansas would say. It's all great fun, and it's all to the point of helping people speak and write the English language well. So it would not be at all unusual for Martha and Grant to have to address a question like the difficulties of knowing the difference between the verb lie and the verb lay. Lay, of course, means to put or set something down. It is a transitive verb, meaning it takes a direct object, something that receives the action, as in lay the book on the table. Lie, on the other hand, means to rest or recline. It is an intransitive verb, so there is nothing to receive the action. At our house, Miss Eddy lies in the middle of the floor, usually right where Maria or I want to step, and she then receives the direct object of the action of our scolding. Miss Eddy, move, we say. What creates the confusion is the fact that the simple present form of lay is the same word as the simple past form of lie. As you may remember from elementary school, it goes lie, lay, lane, lay, laid, laid, right? That simple, not hard at all. By now you're probably thinking, why the grammar lesson today? This is church, not English 101. Well, the answer is because the verb to lay is central to understanding the superpowers of healing and helping. And to lay is also central to understanding Jesus' message and mission. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says to his disciples, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, at first glance, this may sound noble, but it is not especially helpful, right? We want an active shepherd, one who will take the sheep where they need to go. We need a shepherd who will watch over them in times of danger and keep them safe. We want a shepherd who will climb up steep cliffs or down into deep ravines in order to rescue a lost sheep. We want, in the words of the 23rd Psalm, a shepherd who makes us lie down in green pastures. Please note the correct use of the verb lie there. It is the sheep who are resting in the pastures. We want a shepherd who leads us beside still waters. A shepherd who restores our soul. We want a shepherd who will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, a shepherd who will anoint our heads with oil and fill our cups to overflowing. It's hard to see how a shepherd could do these things if that shepherd lays down his life for us. So there must be something to this idea of laying that doesn't meet us at first glance. Now, the picture doesn't get much clearer when we change the lens from what the shepherd can do for us personally to what the shepherd will do for us as a community. In the Old Testament, shepherd was basically a synonym for king or ruler. David was a shepherd of the sheep before he became a shepherd of people. Moses, before him, was likewise a shepherd. Shepherding sheep was both a training and a testing ground for future leaders of Israel. The thinking went, if a man could lead sheep to places where they would eat and drink, if a shepherd could protect his sheep against the predators that would attack them, if a shepherd knew that he had to tend to the weak and seek out the lost in order to bring them into the fold where they could all rest secure, then that man was fit to be king of God's people Israel. But again, all of this seems to involve the fact that the shepherd is very much alive and very active in working on behalf of the sheep. Why then, the question recurs, does the shepherd, and particularly the good shepherd, lay down his life for the sheep? Well, we begin to come at an answer when we learn that in the Old Testament, God himself was said to be the shepherd of his people. Psalm 80 asks God, the shepherd of Israel, to stir up your might and come to save us. Isaiah 40 envisions God as the one who will feed his flock like a shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, God, the good shepherd, tends the sheep, rescuing them from the places to which they have been scattered, feeding them and tending the weak, the lost, and the injured. So when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he is making the radical claim that he does God's work, that he does the work that God himself does. And when Jesus says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, he is making the even more radical claim that he loves the sheep in his care so much that he will lay down his life for them. And not just put it down in the way Webster's understands lay. When Jesus says that I lay down my life for the sheep, he means that he freely and willingly hands over his life to God, offering his life as a sacrifice for the sheep. And note that his offering is unforced. No one takes my life from me, Jesus says, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. So here we see that laying down has everything in the world to do with taking up. Jesus laid down his life because he received power from God to take it up again. Jesus laid down his life in the confidence that he would be raised from the dead. Jesus submitted to death, believing that new life awaited him. So what does this have to do with us, you might ask? Well, Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus laying down his life in order to take it up again, shows us the superpowers that you and I have, and not simply the superpowers we have, but the responsibility that you and I have to care for others. We know love by this, says 1 John, which may be the first world's commentary on the Gospel of John. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, willingly laid down his life for us because he loved us. He was concerned for us. He was concerned about our welfare. Jesus put our interests ahead of his. Gail O'Day contends that this is the very essence of shepherding. The good shepherd's primary concern is for the well-being of his flock at the expense of his own well-being. And in that sense, Jesus laying down his life, the example of his love for us, is indeed an example. It is a pattern to be followed. We are called to be like Christ in that we are to lay down our lives for one another. The question is, how far are you and I, as his followers, expected to follow the pattern? Well, Jesus himself makes it clear that he expects you and me to follow him all the way to death. And as hard as it is to hear, the reality is that sometimes following Jesus means risking laying down our lives to the point of actually dying for him. Those who stood up for civil rights for African Americans in the 1960s risked getting knocked down by water cannons or police batons. Those who opposed oppressive governments in Central and South America in the 1980s risked being disappeared or gunned down. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was only the most famous Christian to be executed by the Nazis for denouncing their evil ways. And so, my friends, I must say to you that as followers of Jesus, you and I may, in fact, be called upon. Indeed, we ought always to be prepared to lay down our lives, give up our lives in order that others might live. But more often than not, such once-in-a-lifetime heroism is not called for. We will not be called on to give the last full measure of devotion. But the principle is the same, says Ronald Cole Turner. Laying down our lives at its core can mean any number of ways in which you and I lay aside our claim to our own lives. We lay down our own lives when we put others first. We lay down our lives when we live for the good of others. We lay down our lives when we make time for others. To love others is to lay down our lives for them. And often loving others is as simple as meeting basic needs. Granted, occasionally the situation may demand that the shepherd risk his life for the sheep, but most of the time the shepherd's work is of a rather more mundane variety, making sure the sheep have enough to eat and drink, keeping the sheep safe and warm, tracking the sheep down when they wander from the flock, trying to keep them from engaging in needless headbutting contests and bandaging their wounds when they do. My friends, 1 John tells us that we're called to love one another not simply in speeches and words, but in truth and action. We show that God's love is in us when we move beyond simply saying we love others into actively loving others. Today, love may look like sending money to relieve victims in distress as a consequence of the earthquake in Nepal. Today, love may look like taking a stand against domestic violence. Today, love may look like calling for an end to the use of unmanned drones. Today, love may look like feeding the hungry at the Alston Street Center or visiting people who are in hospital or in prison. All of those things will come at some cost to you, some cost in terms of money or time or priority of what you want to. Doing those things may mean laying down your life or some part thereof. But the essence of laying down your life, the essence of love, is helping and healing others, just as Jesus did. Amen.